Nearly every day, it seems there's some new revelation about a senior mutual fund executive accused of wrongdoing or resigning in the face of fraud charges. Investigators say the abuses in the mutual fund industry were going on for years undetected or ignored by many top managers. A House subcommittee today takes up the issue. Yesterday, at a Senate subcommittee hearing, state and federal regulators testified on how to reform the embattled industry. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
Before the speakers could delve into the confusing jumble of improper trading schemes, such as market timing, late trading, and even something called cloning, which can disguise illicit trades, they got a warning and a plea from one of the senators.
Our current focus on particular types of trading abuses must not prevent us from seeing the big picture. It's time for a wholesale reexamination of how mutual funds are organized and managed.
Senator Peter Fitzgerald chairs the Senate Financial Management Subcommittee. He said the mutual fund industry has grown into a monster, a $7 trillion trough from which fund managers and other insiders are siphoning away a slice of the nation's household and retirement savings. Fitzgerald wanted to focus the discussion on some major structural reforms.
The governance structure of a typical mutual fund is a study in institutionalized conflict of interest. Until we eliminate the conflicts, lots of mutual funds will continue to engage in behavior that benefits fund managers at the expense of fund shareholders.
Regulators said that much of the conflict of interest lies within the boards of directors of mutual funds. They say fund directors have the wrong incentives, namely to make money for management instead of getting the best returns and lowest fees for investors. Fitzgerald said he would require mutual funds to have independent directors that don't have such conflicts. New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer highlighted another broad area for reform, the fees charged by mutual funds.
Clearly, there's been a problem here. We do not believe the management companies have in any way, shape, or form negotiated aggressively to drive those fees down.
Spitzer says mutual funds could charge investors lower fees, comparable to fees the same money managers charge big pension funds. He estimates that an investor with $100,000 in mutual funds has probably lost $6,000 over the past 10 years because of inflated fees. Add that up across the 90 million Americans who invest in mutual funds, and you're talking about some serious money.
$10 billion every year. If mutual funds were charged what pension funds are charged for what we believe to be comparable services, $10 billion would flow back to the American investor. Those numbers swamp the impropriety that we have found in late-day trading and timing, and therefore deserve to be a subject of intense focus.
Those numbers were disputed by the main mutual fund industry group, the Investment Company Institute. ICI President Matthew Fink also took issue with the push to make mutual fund boards more independent, or to mandate an independent chairman of the board.
I'm very worried about solutions that appear to do something and don't do anything. Of the total of 8 firms that have been named today, as the list has grown, Alger, Alliance, Putnam, etc., 3 of the 8 have independent chairs. Only 20% of the industry have independent chairs now, and yet 3 of the 8 cases have independent chairs, and it hasn't been a cure-all. So I guess, to give my own view, Mr. Chairman, I'm skeptical.
Senator Fitzgerald suggested that the current definition of an independent board member may be too loose. Fitzgerald is pledging to work with ranking Democrat Daniel Akaka to submit bipartisan legislation in the Senate to reform the mutual fund industry, but state regulators caution that new rules may not mean much without better enforcement. The Securities and Exchange Commission has drawn criticism for being slow to respond to fraud in the industry. The head of the SEC's Boston office has now announced that he is stepping down. That office reportedly failed to act on an early tip from a whistleblower in the Putnam Investments case. Chris Arnold, NPR News.